Now we break into our regular programming for a KNIA KRLS breaking news program, a Marion County Board of Supervisors COVID-19 press conference. The one to count on for today's news and information and COVID-19 updates is KNIA KRLS.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, April 17th, and this is another update on Marion County's response to the coronavirus crisis. We wanted to give you some updated information at the outset. Number one, we have one new case in Marion County. I'm joined by Director of Public Health Kim Dorn, and we'll talk about that new case here in a few minutes. We do have good news in that the three cases previous to this have recovered. So we have one active case, and we have three cases that have recovered. So we're very thankful for that, and again, Kim and I will talk about that here in a few minutes. Again, as a reminder, as we've been doing in all of these updates, 30 days to slow the spread. It's April 17th. We want to make it to April 30th. And the more we practice these behaviors, we've heard the positive news that's come from the federal government. And I think we've heard positive news from our state government that this is working. Here in Marion County, we want to encourage all of our citizens to continue to practice these behaviors. Wash your hands regularly. Kim, I believe it's about 20 seconds with soap and water and, and get into that habit. Because that breaks down the outside of the virus. Continue to socially distance. Continue, if you're sick, stay home. Stay home. And the behaviors that are on here, again, coronavirus.gov or on our joint information page, you can see this document. Another thing that came out, I believe it was yesterday, is President Trump revealed his guidelines for the opening up of America. This is a positive piece of information as a result of all Americans doing this, slowing the spread. And I think it's very exciting news when our federal government starts to see light at the end of the tunnel. We have a ways to go. So even though the government is talking about this, please continue to do these behaviors. And let's see where we are on April 30th. So we really hope that and know that this has been a sacrifice for all of you. Again, my wife and I own a small business. We know what this has meant to our employees, to our business. We know what it's meant to you individually. Today, Governor Reynolds talked about schools being closed for the remainder of the year. So parents with children are going to sacrifice as well until the reopening of our schools, which will be in the next school year. So a lot of changes. We've been asked to do a lot, but we're asking for another really 2 weeks to slow the spread of the coronavirus. So Kim, I wanted to talk with you first about our cases. So we have three that have recovered. What does that mean?
That means that they have made it all the way through the recovery period. They have been fever-free without any medications for 72 hours or 3 days.
And those are the CDC guidelines related, okay.
Yep, and it's been at least 7 days since the onset of their symptoms.
Okay.
So you have to meet both of those criteria before we can consider you over it.
Okay, and that's a standard approach throughout all public health departments throughout the state of Iowa.
Correct.
Okay.
That came from the CDC.
Okay, very good. And our one new case.
Yes.
And we have an age on that case. And
it is an adult. It's an adult.
Okay.
And those categories have changed here just recently. Okay. They used to have them listed as 0 to 17, 18 to 40, 41 to 60, 61 to 80, and then above 80. And now those are child, adult, middle age, older adult, and elderly. And you'll see that difference on the website.
Okay.
When we talk about the website.
Okay, good. Well, let's do that now. Let's go to that. The state of Iowa, a lot of people have asked for information on how many tests have been done in Marion County and those types of things. We've been waiting on the state to put together really that information because we get all that information from them.
Right.
We channel everything up through the state of Iowa and they bring that back to us in the form of an organized package of information. They now have a website, coronavirus.iowa.gov, and we've got an example right here of that. So Kim, maybe walk us through the website, what's on it, what Marion County residents can now look up, how many cases, how many tests, those types of things.
Okay. So now you can see the same information that we see that we get from the state. So if you go to that website, they've reformatted it, and there's several tabs across the top. And one tab is clear to the left. It's called Current Status, and that's the one that where you can kind of hover over your county, and you'll get your numbers for your county. So you'll be able to hover over Marion County and see the total current cases there.
Okay.
The next tab over is cases by county age group, which is breaks them down according to what I just described.
Okay. So our four cases, they would be able to see that by age group on that website. Okay.
Yep. And then the next tab is 24-hour cases and deaths. So that's a different number. We will have one case on there because we have one case that we're working right now. They don't have it up yet.
Okay.
Our new one.
Okay.
But the three recovered people are not listed on that.
Okay.
So right now, because they've not updated it, Marion County's not listed on that. Only cases that are open are on that one. And then they also, you can find the number of deaths per county on that.
Okay.
One.
Unfortunately, we've had zero.
Yeah. The next tab over is the Epi curve, and that is just a bar graph that people can look at. It's really good information.
You can see that.
And when we were talking about flattening the curve, this is the curve that we were wanting to flatten.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we've done a really good job of doing that in Iowa by practicing those behaviors.
Right.
But as you're looking at that, it can be kind of confusing because clear over on the right-hand side, it looks like there's not very much over here. But those numbers just haven't filled in. Those are the most recent dates. So as the data comes in, those will fill in.
So I think the key for you, if you go out to this site, again, it's www.coronavirus.iowa.gov. You hover over Marion County and you go to this tab for the Epi curve that Kim is talking about. Remember, there's a lag in the data. In other words, new information is being populated into this. These bars that look really low, so it looks like we're doing a tremendous job dropping off the curve, they could increase as new information is coming in. As you heard today, there were more cases in eastern Iowa. So those cases for those counties are just being populated onto the website. So always keep that in mind as you look at this data.
Okay, then the next tab is lab testing, and this is where you'll find the number of tests that have been done, the number of positive and negative results. And so it's really important for people to remember that those numbers are they are the number of tests that have been done. And positive and negative. However, that as a whole is more of an indicator of what's going on in the county,
mm-hmm.
and across the state, because not everybody's been tested.
Right.
So it really is an indicator because we don't have all the information.
Right. So right now, if you looked on this website on Marion County, you would see 134 people tested mm-hmm. in the county. That would be our total number of tests.
Correct.
And there's probably a lag in that number as well,
mm-hmm.
correct, Kim?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So it means we've got other people coming into our hospitals. Tests are being done. We'll have Kevin and Bob here in a few minutes, and they can speak to those issues as well. But we are actively going through this process through our healthcare providers, through public health. Mm-hmm. But you can at least see the data that we are aware of right now that the state has provided on this site.
Yep.
Okay.
And this one right now says that we have a total confirmed case of three, but because we are in another system that gives us information, we know that there's another one
right.
coming out. And we have started doing the case tracking and all of that.
Okay.
So we start the case tracking and all of that before the numbers hit the website.
Right. So always remember there is a lag, so what we're reporting right now is not updated in this system.
Right. So the next tab is the long-term care dashboard, and that one just has a list of facilities who are currently having outbreaks and the counts in those long-term care facilities.
Right.
And we are so thankful that we are not on that page, and we want to continue to not be on that page.
So let's talk about that for a minute, Kim. The people, I'm sure everybody has heard on the news from the governor about long-term care facilities and facilities like that where there have been blooms of this virus. What have we been doing in Marion County to get ahead of that issue?
Well, the public health staff has reached out to all of the long-term cares and are working with their staff to make sure that they understand the best way that they can work to protect their folks. We're working with them on making sure that they have the PPE that they need. We're working on making sure that they understand the guidelines and the best practices that are coming from the state and that things that they have found are best practice for protecting the people inside the facility. And so we've been spending a lot of time with our long-term cares because it's really important for us to understand that these are the most vulnerable people.
Right.
I'm trying to think, 13% of the cases in Iowa are in long-term care with staff and residents. And the 45% of the deaths in Iowa
right.
are in long-term care.
Right.
And so that's a significant number. That's a significant statistic.
Right.
So it's just really important that everybody works hard to protect those folks.
Right. So you talked about PPE. We've mentioned the governor talked about PPE and that there are shortages of PPE. We have told you that in Marion County, we have enough to meet demand, but we have one area where we could use some assistance, and that would be in gowns.
Correct. The disposable gowns are very difficult to come by. We're not finding them on the open market. And so one of the other options is for cloth gowns. And so on the website, you'll find directions on how to make cloth gowns. And yesterday, the Marion County 4-H'ers have stepped up and said, you know what, we'd like to help with that. They have been making cloth masks, and so as of yesterday, they said that they would start making cloth gowns for us, and then they'll give them to us, and then as those requests for PPE come in to Jeff and I, then we'll get those distributed out to the entities that need them.
Okay. So when you say the website, Kim, you mean on CDC's website?
CDC's website. We'll also put it on the Marion County Public Health website. We can put it on the Marion. We'll get that out there. We'll get that information out. But if you have questions, people can call the health department, and we'll have I'll make sure that the staff there knows where to find it. And because the more the merrier on that, because we don't have great numbers right now of cloth and cloth gowns and what the need is, but we know of the entities that don't have gowns.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gets into the burn rate and all that stuff.
Right.
But so the more the merrier if people want to make gowns and they can drop them off at the public health department. That would be fantastic.
Great. All right. Great. Kim, anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to thank the 4-H'ers for doing this. I think that's a fantastic thing. They will be able to say years down the road, you know, I really contributed to this national emergency.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty cool thing. I mean, not every kid gets to say that they contributed something this significant.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
So
again, a reminder, cloth gowns, we'll have information on our joint information page,
mm-hmm.
Marion County Public Health, on CDC's website. I think that's where you can get the pattern and the information as to how to do this.
Right.
Call the public health department if you'd like to contribute in some way to that effort. And Kim, thanks for the update. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
The website for information on Marion County, for cases, those types of things, www.coronavirus.iowa.gov. Kim, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to invite Kevin Kincaid from Knoxville Hospital give us an update. Kevin, thanks for coming on Friday. Sure. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
How are things going?
Things are going well. Going
okay.
well.
Staff We're, holding up okay?
Yeah, it's certainly uncertain times for our staff, just mm-hmm. like it is for anyone else. I just was sitting there listening to the discussion about the 4-H group making gowns and people making masks. And 2 months ago, that was unthinkable.
Right.
Absolutely unthinkable. And so that, for me, that's always kind of an indicator of just how unusual this is and how serious it is. And so for people to kind of keep that in mind, especially as we start talking about opening back up for business and mm-hmm. keeping some of these precautions in mind, because this is certainly surreal to me in a lot of ways of how quickly things have changed.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. at the medical center, we talk every day with our staff about our job one, our priority one is to keep our staff safe. And if they're safe, our building is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're prepared to keep the community safe.
Okay.
So that's kind of how we talk about that.
Right.
And so far, we've been doing a mighty fine job on all three. So
Great. So
pleased that that's working out well. So we remain a very safe place to come if you need medical care.
Great.
Just if it's not emergent, call ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We've had virtual medicine up and running for over a year now. It's just mm-hmm. that we haven't implemented it because nobody really liked it,
right.
you know, so much. And now it's a big part of our lives. Most of our patients are seen virtually.
Kevin, do you see that as being a material change in how you'll do medicine after this is all done?
I think it's an absolute game changer as it relates to virtual medicine has been around and mm-hmm. for a long time, and we know it works. It's not the same as face-to-face with your provider, but it's a pretty darn good option mm-hmm. when travel can be difficult or you just need something very simple checked out. Virtual medicine has always had a role. We just really haven't used it. We
mm-hmm.
haven't, there are other areas in the country where it's been more popular.
Okay.
But certainly in the middle of the country, we still like to get in our car, drive to the hospital, park, go in and see your doctor.
Right.
Right. That's what we've done.
Right.
I think virtual medicine is, people have experienced it now on a large scale. We know it works, and we know it works really well.
Okay.
And we're taking care of most of our patients virtually right now.
That's amazing.
So they can just go to our website and My Mobile Health, and it works slick. If it's your first time that you've done it, we'll walk you through because you have to download Zoom software, and so that's easy to do. But sometimes if you haven't done it, it could be a little bit complicated or you could get stuck on your device. So we have people that are well-trained to walk you through it. But once you've done it the first time, it's easy to do.
Okay.
And also what's really changed with virtual medicine, which we're really excited about, is not only have patients now become a little more used to it, and providers, as a provider, we've become more used to using virtual medicine large scale. The payers, the insurance companies, are actually paying for this like it was a face-to-face visit, which they've never really done before.
Wow.
So it's a game changer across the board. I think this is one of the positive things that's going to be here to stay, is that we're going to see how technology and virtual medicine kind of gets with the rest of the world as it relates to mm-hmm. technology.
That's great. That's good. I mean, is there a silver lining out of something like this? But if it improves patient care at the end of the day, that's a good thing, especially in a rural county like ours.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I think that there are certain places where it has great applicability, and it doesn't replace the face-to-face visit at all. But certainly it has a role to play, and I think it can be something that people learn to even like.
Okay.
And which would be awesome. I would say the only change that probably since the last time I spoke with you, I know we were getting our Bell Avenue Clinic back up to speed for seeing patients. It's been a business occupancy for several years. We've since moved those folks out and returned it to a clinical setting, but we have begun to see patients at the Bell Avenue Clinic. So okay. These are the folks that have respiratory type symptoms, and then we divert them there, and then they're seen, and then they can leave.
Okay.
So certainly this is not the place where people go in an emergency, or this is not where we put inpatient COVID-19 mm-hmm. positive
right.
patients or anything
right.
like that. This is a very controlled space that we're able to see people that may have some of these symptoms that we're kind of looking at in
okay.
a very controlled environment. So that's been a great asset for the medical center and a great asset for our ability to keep the community safe, which keep our staff are safe there, our neighbors are safe there, our buildings
yep.
are safe, and that all leads to a safe community.
Good, good, excellent, excellent. We're talking about reopening.
Yes.
Do you see any changes in terms of how the hospital will function? I know it's early, but have you been thinking about this at all? I know I'll ask Bob kind of the same
yeah,
thing
it's,
for
Pella. Yeah, that's an awesome question, because just this morning, I've been thinking about this for a week, we turned off our clinical services at the snap of a finger, but you can't restart that like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very complicated of who's going to be in the top priority. We think that there will probably be a phased opening. It's not going to be just like one day magically everything's back to the same.
Right.
It's probably going to be phased. We are assembling what I have called at the medical center. We have put together a formal business as usual task force.
Mm.
So thinking about it from a positive perspective, giving us kind of some target dates, looking at May 1st, May 15th. Those
right.
are dates that we're looking at. If there are openings and be able to go back to routine care, non-emergent services that people are kind of on the sidelines waiting for, we want our business as usual task force to have thought through all the kind of implications that go with restarting that as it relates to doing pre-authorizations and all the things mm-hmm. with the payers and making sure that the right people that need to be seen first are in first
mm-hmm.
and all the getting the staff reassembled and all those things. So it is really more complicated than I anticipated.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about this because I never thought we would be discontinuing services at
right.
the medical center.
Right.
I just didn't see that happening. And we were able to undo it very quickly
mm-hmm.
to follow the guidelines and do the right thing. But to build it back up is quite a complicated thing.
Right.
So this business as usual task force is a huge positive shot in the arm for our staff, because it's the future.
Right.
You know, this isn't going to last forever.
Right.
We don't have an exact date of where it's going to end, but we want to get back to some sort of normal, whatever that is.
Right.
And this task force is beginning to put the pieces together for us to be able to do that as quickly as possible, but more importantly, as responsible as possible,
yeah.
because our ultimate goal is to keep our community safe.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's such a great idea that really, if you're a small business or any business, should start thinking along those lines about what it means to turn the lights back on.
Yeah, it's when you stop and think about all of the little steps that
yeah.
are involved in reopening whatever your business is, there's a lot to that.
Yeah.
It's like starting up a new business.
Yeah.
You are really restarting. And so a lot to think about. And so we got, you know, obviously got a building full of really smart people,
mm-hmm.
and it's been able to give them a great distraction to think about how do we get back to doing what we do, which is take care of people
yeah.
in all settings. And that includes routine care, non-emergent care. And get back to work
yeah.
and take care of people.
Absolutely.
So it's what we do and what we love to do.
That's great. Kevin, thanks for the update.
You bet.
Sure appreciate
you
your time. Thank you. And for all you folks do over there.
You bet.
Thank you. It's a great update and really great information to think about across our entire economy when you think about restarting. And we're joined now by Bob Cruz from Pella Regional. And Bob, how are you doing?
doing well, and thank you very much for this. And I just want to echo the words of Kim and also my colleague Kevin. You know, a lot of what they both spoke of is kind of some of the comments I'm going to make, and I don't want to be redundant on those. But again, if it's okay, I'll just kind of have a couple things I want to mention that kind of may be a bit redundant to what Kevin was saying, but I just think it probably bears repeating. And Teleregional offers virtual visits as well. And I think people just need to understand that, you know, what that really means. I think people worry that that's not a secure situation, but, you know, ours, and I think all of them are HIPAA compliant. It's a video chat, you know, and they don't even have to leave their home. And I think people are starting to understand that, but I agree with Kevin. At first, a lot of people in the Midwest don't always gravitate to that. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to get the number out there also for people so that they can be assisted through their process if this is their first time. And in our case, that number is 641-621-2200. And they can call in and get more information, or their provider may be reaching out to them to schedule a visit too, because the physicians are trying to take a proactive approach. They know there's some of their patients that have had fairly serious chronic conditions that they're very concerned about, that many times these folks have been so compliant about not wanting to for the social distancing and everything that they've, you know, maybe compromise their own care a little bit. So we want to make sure that they see that as an option, but also reinforce the fact that we have and we continue to be very prepared to take care of people's chronic and medical needs. You know, as Kevin echoed, we probably, our environments now, because of all the work we've done, have always been safe, but our commitment to safety has been really emphasized, and it's probably a more safe environment than it's ever been. So we just want to make sure that everyone knows that the fellow physicians are very available to see patients, and will do whatever they can to try to figure out how to deal with their situation, whatever that may be. So I just want to make sure we emphasize that we are open. And the other part that I want to emphasize too, and I thought it was ironic that you brought up with Kevin, the fact that how are we going to be talking about reopening and going about this? And I thought it was articulated very well in your previous conversation. But, you know, we've been talking directly with our medical staff, and also have a committee here where we're trying to evaluate, you know, we know that and want to be very respectful of the governor's saying no more electives, but the definition of elective is broad, and we're trying to make sure that there aren't some necessary things that may be under the real original intentions of the restriction may still need to be seen. And we want to make sure that patients who have those concerns, please call and talk that over with their doctor. We're right now wanting to make sure patients know that the doctor will take things on a case-by-case basis. And if they do need to be seen or have some type of diagnostic testing or procedure, that will be done on a case-by-case basis. And we understand too, and I just can't emphasize enough the fact that part of the reason there was restriction is the shortage of the PPE. So we're trying to look very carefully as we think about restarting our organization, just as was mentioned previously, that we're very, very conscious of procedures that can be done that are going to not utilize a great deal of that highly valuable PPE, which would be the gowns, masks, and the like. We kind of overuse the acronym PPE. But anyway, I think we're all really trying to look forward. We're encouraged by the fact that the administration, our government, and our governor and the state are really trying to help us figure out how we can gradually get back into some level of the new normal. So we're working on that and talking about it. And I'll also agree with the fact that I think as we talk about it, you see the hope come into people's eyes. I think we're all looking forward to being able to get back into a more regular approach to how we've always done things, which is to continue to find ways that we can do greater things for our patients in this area. So any questions about that at all, Mark?
Well, no, Bob, I appreciate the update, and I think you raised just a really key point is about if you think you need medical help that doesn't fit into COVID-19, make sure to contact your physician. And don't just because there's an order out there
it's not
about
non-compliant, with what the governor and so have said, Pardon me on that.
No, it's okay.
But we just want to make sure people that need care are not neglecting their care.
Oh, did we lose Bob? Bob, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. If you want to wrap up that thought, Bob, that'd be great.
Yeah, can you hear me right now?
Yes, I can.
All right, very good. I just want to emphasize, though, that we've heard patients that have said that, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, risk getting COVID. And then when they come in, the doctor realizes that, boy, they really should have been seen. So we want to be compliant, but we also want to be smart about this. So that's just an encouragement to patients to, if they have concerns, to please feel that they can call in.
All right. Bob, thanks for the update, and thanks for all you folks are doing over at Pella Regional. We sure appreciate it.
And same to you.
All right. Little connection problem there. I'd like to invite Jake Grandia to come out, Marion County Auditor, and give us an update on, I think it's elections again, Jake?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, welcome.
Thanks, Mark.
Happy Friday.
It's good to be here. Happy Friday.
Yeah. What do you have for us?
Well, we just wanted to do an update again and just keep touching base in the upcoming weeks for the June 2, 2020 primary election that is still scheduled and planning on being held as planned. So we just want to touch base on that and to continue to encourage people to use the absentee process if possible. With all the things that are still going on, and if someone can vote from home and get that ballot from home, that's what's highly being encouraged. And so just want to remind everybody that in the next week or two, the Secretary of State will be mailing out absentee ballot request forms to all registered voters in Iowa. So those should be hitting the mailboxes in the next week or two. The ballot request forms can be obtained on the Secretary of State's website and printed off, or from our own county website and printed off as well. Just want to make people sure that they understand that they do still need to send in a request to our office at the auditor's office to receive the actual ballot itself.
Okay.
So we need a signed ballot and then also indicate which party you would like to receive a ballot for.
Okay.
This is a primary election, so the Republican candidates are versing each other, the Democratic candidates are versing each other to see who will participate in the November election.
Okay.
So we have sample ballots available on our county website on the election page. There are quite a few sample ballots because it's by precinct and by a party. So that's what each individual voter will get. So
okay,
we just want to encourage voting through the absentee process, and if possible, to do it at home as much as possible in this coming election.
Okay. And the number, Jake, is on the Marion County website?
Yes. We can call our office at 828-2217 if you would like to. That is also on the website. And the other thing I did want to touch base on just a little bit on future planning is in-person voting is still going to be taking place on Election Day at this point. Although we are encouraging the absentee ballot process, we are looking at holding 5 locations throughout the county and making plans for that individual spots. But they will be limited to what's the restrictions that are in place
right
for all of us as well.
Right. I mean,
so
you're gonna use social distancing,
yes,
and all those requirements,
right,
and so it'll look a little different.
It'll look a little different. That's a great way to put it. So,
yeah,
if you have an opportunity to and want to participate in the primary election in June and can do so by absentee, that's what we would encourage and appreciate. But we are still working on processes, and just let you know that information will be coming out on those locations and which precincts will need to go where in the coming weeks to come.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Jake, thanks for the
update.
Thanks,
Mark. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, sure, appreciate it. Thanks, bud.
Yep.
All right. And last, I'd like to invite Dave McKinney from Marion County Conservation to come and give us an update on parks. Dave, welcome.
How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Mark, thanks for giving the opportunity to update the public here on park activities for the county system.
Absolutely. What do you have, Dave?
Currently, all of the county parks are closed, including Roberts Creek, Cordova, and Marion County Park, to motor vehicle traffic. By that, I mean cars and motorcycles can't drive in. They need to stop outside if they want to walk in. We're unhappy to have foot traffic, bicycles. Encourage people to go out and do that if they would. If you do stop out, please park in an area that's not going to block a gate or an entryway.
Mm-hmm.
May have to get an emergency vehicle in at some time.
Right.
Also, ball fields, the disc golf course at Roberts Creek, the pavilion at Cordova Park are closed to the public.
Okay.
Restrict the vehicles from going in so we don't have bigger gatherings. You know, you don't want to get more than 10 at a time, but if you go in to walk, use your social distancing. You know, keep your 6 feet apart. Try to keep your groups under 10 people.
Right.
People are wondering why you can't drive in. That's why. We just want to make it safe for everybody else. We've also suspended all of our reservations for shelter houses, campgrounds, and the pavilion through May 15th at this time, just so we're not having to do so many refunds. And it's not fair if you make a reservation, think you have something going on, we have to change it again. So.
Right.
And that could also change again the date. It depends on what the Governor Reynolds proclamation, if she has another one that would keep us closed longer, could do that. We do have a couple trails that are available. Roberts Creek, Cordova Park, there's trails if you walk into. You know, there's good ways to get out and get a little exercise, enjoy the, well, spring weather, I guess, if you will, once the snow's gone.
That's right.
I want to thank the public for their patience with us. We'll be ready to go. When we get the order to go to open up, we'll be ready to go. Just right now, just be patient.
And this isn't any different, Dave, than what the state's doing and what the Corps has done out at the Corps ground, right?
No, we're following exactly what Governor Reynolds has asked, that we close the campgrounds. The Corps, from what I understand, is a little bit further ahead than we are, than the state anyway. They have they've announced that they're closed further than what we are at this time. So.
Okay.
I think you'd have to go to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers website to see what they're
doing. Yeah, sure. Okay.
So,
great. Anything else?
I think that's all I have.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the update.
We sure
appreciate it. Thank you.
Good day.
Hey, you too. As we wrap up, just again a reminder: 30 days to slow the spread. We're April 17th. Let's make it to the end of the month and see what the governor says. But we want to reopen the state. We want to reopen Marion County. And so we're getting close to see what the results of our actions have been. So keep at it. We thank you for everything that you're doing to help slow the spread. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
That concludes the KNIA KRLS Breaking News Program, a Marion County Board of Supervisors COVID-19 press conference. The one to count on for today's news and information and COVID-19 updates is KNIA KRLS.